Nobody expected there to be a concept album with Western cowboys music. Don Henley was from Texas, he was a cowboy. Glenn was from Detroit, he wanted to be a cowboy. Because I knew all these guys had a little cowboy inside of them, I took him to Western costume. I just said, pick out your persona.
Their premise was that if they had lived 100 years ago in, like, you know, 1872, they probably would have been gunslingers.
Everybody's gonna be firing in the direction of this building right here.
Jackson, J.D., Boyd, y'all gotta be in the picture.
Right? Ready?
The patients are running the hospital here, folks. It's Luke Peristi and your friend and mine, James, coming at you for the Welcome to Your Carlson Years podcast. There is no Virata.
Rest in power, my king.
We regret to inform you that...
He died of American Thanksgiving political discussions.
Oh man. I guess one of his family members like brought up the Joe Rogan podcast like 16 times in one dinner, and that was it. Anyway, that's the sort of time it's going to be here, folks. Welcome. It's been, I don't know, maybe like 6 weeks since the, you know, venerable blog Welcome to Your Carlson Years put out a podcast, and
it's been 6 weeks of Sundays. Let me tell you.
So, James, do you have anything you want to talk about at this point?
I do. So, Luke Peristi .twitter.com. What do you want to just start off on a fun note?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, there's so many fun things to choose from with the Ottawa Senators these days. But we went to watch professional hockey. That's right, professional hockey get played in Belleville, Ontario. We went and saw the Belleville Senators. A little backstory, I guess, is that you and one Chet Aloysius Sellers, rest in peace, and I used to go to Binghamton, New York, once a year or so. Mm-hmm. And watch the Binghamton Senators play. And when they moved to Belleville, we were like, fuck that. We're never going to Belleville. Binghamton till I die. You know, we got some friends out there, you know. And, you know, we went back on our word to only watch the Binghamton Devils play the Belleville Senators. But we went down to Belleville. Watched them play the Bridgeport Sound Tigers,
mm-hmm.
aka where draft picks go to die. There was not a lot going on the other side of the ice.
Yeah, Josh Hosang was there, and that was all I could remember. Also, the team name is the Sound Tigers.
Sound Tigers?
It's not the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. It's the Bridgeport Sound Tigers,
yeah,
which is extremely fake.
Yeah, Sound Tigers Records, one of the best Japanese noise labels going right now. So what were some of your takeaways from the Belleville Senators versus Binghamton Senators? You know, whether you want to do in comparison or just as business people call net new. It's net new.
It's not, I will admit it was not my first Belleville Senators game. I went to one last year, and I think it's possible the new team smell was starting to wear off a bit, because, you know, while there was, you know, a solid, you know, 2,500 people in the arena for out of a capacity of like 4,400, there was kind of a, you know, pick your own seat night vibe to the proceedings.
For sure.
But you know what? It is what it is. The night before was a home game against the Marlies, and you know, as a city that's closer to Toronto than it is to Ottawa, you know, I think Belleville has, you know, quite a lot of like Leafs fans. And I think anyone in Belleville already is kind of a Leafs fan, but like cheer for the local team because they're just happy to have hockey back.
I'll say there was more Sens gear than I expected there. And there was exactly as much Belleville Bulls gear as I expected there.
Yes. Going to these, like, I love going to hockey, especially like weird small leagues, because it just like really drives home the extent to which like this is just like a ritualistic experience for everyone. It's kind of like there's the lineup announcement and there's the anthems and there's the warm up, not in that order, but you know, I've been to a hockey game and you know, there's a lot of the same elements and that you just move them around to a different rink and, you know, you stand up for the national anthem, someone sings it, then you get started, then, you know, you win or lose, you go home, you walk around the concourse, you have a beer. It's all like all the constituent ingredients are pretty much the same no matter where you are. And so, you know, going to the Belleville game, it's kind of like, oh yeah, this is a hockey game in Belleville. I know what this is.
Yeah, there were some weird moments. I mean, I think it goes without saying that we were kind of going on our spiritual journey to Belleville, Ontario to see one Bath Drakerson perform hockey for a live audience. And he was called up, what, like 2 or 3 days before, where he has just been crushing it in the National Hockey League. Like, didn't they have some sort of like jersey auction? And they were like, there's a Drake Batherson jersey here. It was like, Drake Batherson could not be here tonight because he's too good for this team. But however, you know, his jersey is here for sale. There was some letdown moments like that. There was no Drake Batherson. Also, I remember looking on, have you been on this website, twitter.com? It's a place of disappointment where I saw that Philip Gustafson had started like the night before, I think against the Marlies. And I was like, well, Philip Gustafson's not starting tonight, so we're probably going to see Marcus Hogberg or something. And there was a young fella, we were watching the warm-up, and I was like, I think this guy is going to be starting tonight. And it was Jake Patterson, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I never heard of this guy before.
It's kind of one of the joys of being an AHL fan or even just a minor league sports fan in general, where the moment that you get attached to a good player, you know that guy is going to another team, you know, quote unquote important team. And so that combined, so like really getting excited for Drake Batherson, who wasn't in attendance on account of being too good, and then missing out on Philip Gustafson and having to watch, you know, 1-800 rent a goalie. Jake Patterson kind of like really drove home the, you know, minor league nature of the experience. It's like, you're not going to get to see who you're here to see. And also you're not going to know who's in net.
Yeah. It was a little rough because like Hogberg was injured, I believe. And Mike McKenna had been called up to the Ottawa Senators. He's, by the way, if you're, you know, keeping track of these kind of things, Mike McKenna will be starting a game in late January in Ottawa. So look forward to that. But yeah, no Gustafson, no McKenna, no Hogberg. So you're like, hey, we're about to watch the fifth string Ottawa goalie. Let's do this thing. He's got a like 800 save percentage. We thought it was going to be a complete, you know, diarrhea show, but gotta say, actually kind of a defensively sound game on both ends.
So I remember remarking on this, but you know, in the previous AHL games we've seen together, my main takeaway from what the hockey is like is that just, it's the Wild West. There's no structure. If you can, you know, dangle past one guy, you should do it and take a shot, because who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons why the AHL is so hard on goalies, is because you just have no idea if the defenseman is going to do what he's supposed to do and therefore like make you look stupid for like being where you think you should be. And, you know, as you say, it was kind of like a nice defensively responsible, you know, real meat and potatoes good fundamentals game.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, is this the new coaching influence? Like, we're not trying to run and gun with guys. We're trying to like teach them, you know, the way of the professional and tell them where they should be. If so, that's new and unique. I'm not used to it.
Did anyone stand out to you during the game?
I'm not sure. It was hard to tell because a lot of these guys had just played the night before. You know, Drake Batherson wasn't there. I did feel like I wanted a bit more from Rudolph Spalsers.
Yeah. I mean, going to see an AHL game, like I said earlier, we would go to about one a year, which is like, you know, that's not a good
It's respectful. Sample size. It's a respectful number.
It's extremely respectful. It's kind of like a barbershop amount of games to go to. You can talk shit in the barbershop after going to see one game. But I find that like going to Binghamton Sens games in the past, you know, you do see some no-namer on like the Rochester Americans just like dangle through, you know, the neutral zone and like get a shot off. And you're like, that's pretty cool. I bet NHL coaches hate to see a guy like that. Yeah. You know? But then I remember
The level we're on, by the way, is that like we've watched Phil Veroni play for Rochester and for the BSens.
Yeah, so Phil Veroni was sick. Like he was super good. He was super good in the AHL level, but you're kind of like, well, when you're playing on the fourth line in Ottawa, you're not really going to be able to do that. It's going to be like, go out there and kill this 5-on-3, please, you know? And further to that is like, you'd watch someone like Freddie Claesson and he'd go behind the net and he'd just halt the play and just kind of give a wide scope of the ice surface and make a strong outlet pass. And you're like, this guy looks like he's NHL worthy, you know, like he's kind of thinking about what he's going to do next, not just like getting a shot off that like from a bad angle or whatever. And I'll say that the guys that struck me like that in the game that we watched, because there are more good players. I think the last Binghamton Senators game we went to, we were there to watch like Andrew Hammond, who had been traded to Colorado already, and Freddie Claesson and like Nick Paul, I think were like the big names. There's a little more jam to them. I thought that Logan Brown, who was fresh off an injury, looked really good. It was a low-scoring game. It was 2-1. But I did find Logan Brown noticeable and making smart plays.
Yeah, for sure.
I liked Philip Schlopik quite a bit. I thought Jack Rodewald was good. And Christian Wolinen, I thought, was very good.
It was interesting watching like Adam Tambolini and then, you know, be like Tambolini. And there's like, no, it's the younger Tambolini, not the one you're thinking of. It's like, oh, okay.
And there were some guys there too, who you're sort of like, oh, you know, what happened to this guy? Like Gabriel Gagne. Ooh.
Still out there.
Yo, 1 goal and 3 assists in 18 games. It's kind of getting quiet for a lot of dudes on the Binghamton Senators. I think there's like a fair amount of exciting people. I mean, you have someone like Drake Batherson lighting it up, comes right up to the NHL, making a difference. We've seen Schlopik at the NHL level. He looks competent. You know, I think Brown is, you know what? I should also say, I thought Nick Paul looked pretty good in that game. He's what you call a large adult son. He is a biggie boy. I noticed him out there. But I also think that at the end of the day, we did see the tail end of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And it was not the most exciting game. And also, you know, the age demographic in that building was, 8 years old or 80 years old. You know, I don't think there's a lot of 27-year-olds in Belleville these days. If you are 27 and playing in Belleville, you're probably on the Belleville Senators.
Yeah. Which was made it even weirder that the BSens kind of like team was like trying to give it the trappings of like a professional hockey game where it's just like, we're going to play monster truck between whistles and Here's some pump up music. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I think you got to get like the Chattanooga Choo Choo playing in here. Yeah. Or something like
Froggy went a court.
Yeah, just go with what you've got, guys. Like, don't try to.
Just public domain. Camp Town Races. Just let's go. Fuck.
It's funny. So first of all, I think it's worth agreeing that, you know, it is good that the Senators have a little more going for them than usual. All those names you said are kind of like guys who could, you know, threaten to make the NHL at some point. And that's something we haven't been able to say about the BSens in, you know, a couple of seasons.
No.
Although it is weird that, you know, Mike Condon has, you know, died. Remember Mike Condon? Yo,
what's going on with that guy? What's going on?
He had
listen. Let me just say this. I'm worried about Mike Condon. I've been saying this since last year, and that was pre going down to the AHL, and then they're like, he's hurt.
Mike Condon.
Okay, I don't remember him getting hurt, but
Mike Condon got sent down to the AHL like to regain his confidence after, I don't know, he got scored on by like a, I don't know, 120-foot shot against Arizona. They were like, we got to send this guy to some like easier shooters, and then he let in, I don't know, 4 goals on 15 shots or something in Belleville, and then it was like, okay, that guy's hurt now. And
was that not the game where Drake Batherson had 6 points and Willinen had 5 points, and it was sort of like BSens set AHL record with 7-6 win over the Toronto Marlies, and you're like, that's cool, but also extremely like needle pulling off record, like like, the stars of the team had to put up like a total of 12 points or 13.
Like, but the it's the AHL though, so you see like, you know, Batherson outstanding in, you know, 7-6 win, and you just go, oh, they're having a normal one.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, I guess I don't really know how the league works so much. Like, typically I just look down and be like, sorry, that's, you know, a bit condescending sound. I look at like Sens prospects at twitter.ca, and it's just like, look, Drake Batherson had 6 points, and you're like, that's really cool. But once you're keeping an eye on the goaltending situation, you're like, you know, 7-6 win, hey, well, that's cool that they managed to pull that off.
Yeah, if you're not on one of those, if you're not on like the Syracuse Crunch or whatever, one of these teams that just seems to be good no matter what, any AHL goalie that can maintain a save percentage above 900 is probably really good. That's my rule of
thumb. Yeah. Which was weird because we were watching like the fifth string goalie. Maybe they were tightening up around him, but like a 2-1 AHL game was not what I was expecting.
It also was just not, it was just a generally tight game. I think both teams had under 30 shots. It wasn't like a wild back and forth affair.
No, very much so. I mean,
it was also funny
first
because
period, oh, bring a book.
It's funny because we're like, we're on a road trip, we're in Belleville, we're watching this game, and like, all right, let's watch some like exciting AHL hockey. And you know, it's 1-1, you know, there's been 22 shots through 2 periods or whatever, and then, you know, you're checking Twitter and it's like Ottawa's putting up a 6th spot on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it's like, should we have watched that game?
Yeah, that looks like a much more fun game. But, you know, I mean, early in the game, I'm not going to pretend, you know, it was the highlight of the game was the lady that sung the anthem was sitting near us. And we're like, hey, that's her right there. Look at that. Look at her going on her phone. She has the official AHL app on her phone. She's entering the 50-50.
The Avril Lavigne of Belleville.
I'd be remiss to not mention that we did meet up with Twitter sensation Bobby B. Kelly and his delightful brothers. And you know what? That was really nice. We got things a little bit hype.
We did.
And I just want to say shout out to the Kelly brothers, and you know what, Twitter, let's bring back Bobby Kelly's hot Twitter. That was a good, that was a good iteration of Twitter. Anyone who meets Bobby Kelly is like, holy shit, look at this guy.
Justifiably.
So in conclusion, Belleville is no Binghamton. I had more fun hanging out in Binghamton. Belleville's uniforms are far nicer than the Ottawa Senators. Bobby Kelly's a gorgeous man, and his brothers are really nice and also handsome. And honestly, Joshua Hosang was not really bringing anything to the table that I thought was worth writing home about.
I agree on all those fronts. So yeah, the Belleville Sens, lots to look forward to. I don't know. It's close to me because I live in Kingston. So, you know, the fact that I'm never more than, you know, 40 minutes away from watching Rudolph's Balsers in person is, you know, kind of attractive.
Honestly, ask Luke Peristi, make two phone calls to have Rudolph's Balsers down here. What did you think of Rudolph's? Yeah, the Rudolph's Balsers was a little quiet that game, but, you know.
There was a lot of quiet. It was a 2-1, like, well-structured defensive struggle. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It was extremely the second half of a back-to-back.
A weird thing about watching AHL hockey is that, like, a player will stand out. And you're kind of like mad about it. Like, I thought Paul Carey had a really good game, and you're sort of like incredulous watching it. You're like, I don't want you to get called up 29-year-old, very serviceable AHL player.
Yeah.
I'd much rather my Malibu Stacy with a new hat, Rudolph's Balsers, have a much better game than you. But like, Paul Carey is like outperforming him.
Yeah, if you're old enough to remember, like, watching Beast Wars as a kid, like, I don't want you being the call-up for my hockey team.
Yeah.
Another thing that probably doesn't get talked about enough is how wild the AHL schedule is as well. It's like OHL, like, where it's like, all right, we're going to have 3 games in 3 days on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then you guys are off for a week, and then we're going to have 4 games in 6 nights. Like, what? How do you guys live like this?
Yeah, it seems brutal. I hate it. Belleville Senators, I'm going to say nice time. Bobby Kelly is handsome. Nice uniforms. Would go back and stay in Kingston that night.
So, James, let me ask you this. Let's say that you're in a location, okay, and you want to get to another location, but you can't walk there. It's too far.
No, we can't walk. Okay. Yeah.
You don't have a car, or you'd rather not drive. What's your preferred way to get around?
I mean, I'm going to say either like electric scooter or a Hubert.
A Hubert, you say?
Yeah.
Really? So you're not going with the boycott of Uber because apparently they're dirty snitches who record your shit talk?
Telling all they business.
Can we just say, so when that story first broke, I think it was like a Friday night, it was like players caught shit talking coach in the back of an Uber. I'm like, oh, this should be good. And then you listen to it and you're like, yo, first of all, Matt Duchene's got bars. Second of all, pretty much straight factual from all those guys.
No, that's what I said. It's like, I'd be upset if they were not talking shit about their penalty killing. If they were like, yeah, we got the best penalty killing in the league, be like, what? These guys are coke dreams in a way that I don't like.
Yeah, but instead they're like, yo, our power play sucks. And everyone's like, yeah, you're right. Glad you've identified that problem, guys.
Yeah.
I did feel bad for them because, you know, whomst among us has not extremely shit-talked their boss not knowing that they're being secretly recorded, you know?
No, Uber, official rideshare service of the police. Like, fuck you. That's terrible.
It was so... It's a rough situation for everyone involved. Like, obviously, you know, the players, they're not out there trying to get their shit talk on tape. It's tough for the coaches who have to, like, you know, stand by their coach who's admittedly doing a bad job at the penalty kill. And, you know, the Senators did a bad thing by not just letting the story going away and be like, we're going to try to sue. And, you know, we don't like having, you know, the post-media reporters on the team charter anymore, which was like, guys, like,
yeah, that was cool.
if you hadn't just let it go, like, everyone is over it and you keep on trying to make it a story. I cannot believe how bad the Senators are at, like, just media sometimes.
No, there's a guy that was on Twitter. Sorry, I say in past tense. He's extremely online. David McGuffin, shout out to you if you're listening. He works for NPR. He was like, look at
ooh
these.
La la, someone's going to get laid in college.
Hey. He was saying, I saw this thing. He's like, look at these fucking amateurs turning a one-day story into like a five-day story over here. I was like, right? Just let it go. It was just like, it's like, remember when Claude Giroux was caught like being a piece of human garbage in the market?
Yeah.
Where he was like grabbing a cop's ass or something that would get your jaw broken on a regular Friday night. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, do you remember the Philadelphia Flyers' legendary response to that? Yeah, neither do I. They're just like, well, you know, boys will be boys, and boys are pieces of shit and whatever. They just let it slide. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you do. It's like, look, what is the guy's name even that they were talking about? Alain Tourigny, he's like the 67s coach now.
No, it was Raymond.
Oh, yeah. You can't even remember his first name. Neither can I. Just like they're basically shit-talking the assistant manager. Like where they're just like, this guy's fucking up the schedule for everyone. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
Normal stuff. Normal stuff.
To me, if I could change one thing about the whole Hubert, like, Hubert 2018... hashtag would be, I just wish it was like Tom Pyatt and Mark Borowiecki and all these guys that like say their prayers and take their vitamins before bed at 8 o'clock. Like the fact that it was like Duchesne and Shabbat. And
it was definitely some like extremely unfuckwithable guys,
like,
but also Chris player. Weidman, who just got traded. He was very fuckwithable.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, Chris Weidman got sent to geo hell. I'm sorry, Chris Weidman. Look, your political views are horrible, but that's not out of line with a professional hockey player. But you had great hair. You had American hair. And I will miss you. You know, angels soar high. He'll be making outlet passes to Conrad McDavid. So shout out to him. How do you feel about that Chris Weidman trade?
So at first I was kind of like, you know, oh, wow, a six for Chris Weidman. All right, that's a six-round pick. And then I realized that the six-round pick was in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, when Trumpito is going to be starting his second term.
That's so, like Peter Chiarelli slid him a IOU on the table and was just like, yeah, I'll get you back at some point. Like,
yeah, it was weird. But I do want to bring up the time. Like, this feels like a really petty trade in that, like, remember when in 2011, when the Sens did their last fire sale,
mm-hmm.
and they traded all these players, you know, they got rid of everyone. They got rid of Jarkko Ruutu and like whoever. And one of the weirdest trades of that whole ordeal was Alex Kovalev got dealt for
a conditional. I think it was a conditional seventh.
Like that is almost like the worst thing you can be traded for,
mm-hmm.
where they were getting like, you know, second for this guy, third for this guy. And they're just like, you will be traded for literal garbage. And that was Alex Kovalev. Like the dude is a Stanley Cup winner. He's like a first round draft pick. He's like, he has 1,000 points. Like,
yeah, any time that the GM trades you for a draft pick he might not even be around to use, that's when you know that it's extremely personal.
Which is like, you know, shout out to you, Chris Weidman. You got in there. You were traded in the same sphere as Alex Kovalev, where like the organization's basically mad at you and they're trying to like smear you publicly. Like, I wear that as a badge of honor, you know, like sweep that up into your gorgeous American hair, my guy. I mean, it.
All this said, it's not like Guy Boucher had been like playing him a lot to begin with or ever. Like, Guy Boucher has never been a huge Chris Weidman guy for one reason or another, probably his objectionable political views.
He had some nice points this year, but I did not think that he looked very good this year. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I feel like Evgeny Malkin is one of the best players in the National Hockey League, but I think he's the guy you can get so mad that he would eventually suck and take a 5-minute major against you.
Like, the same way that, like, dachshunds are specifically bred to hunt, like, gophers and prairie dogs, like, Brady Tkachuk is specifically designed to annoy the living fuck out of Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, like, look at Evgeny Malkin's face, and you're like, I hate looking at this guy's face. And then you look at Brady Tkachuk's face, and you're like, I miss Evgeny Malkin's face. Like, holy shit. Like, I miss that Russian cosmonaut face in light of this malevolent Irish Ukrainian leprechaun that is just getting all in my nightmares. Do you want to talk about something nice? Do you want to talk about our beautiful children?
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
So if you're listening to this podcast, it's very likely that you're as dead inside as we are. And I just want to read some numbers. I'm going to read some names and numbers, and we're going to talk about these names and numbers. Thomas Chabot, 23 games, 27 points.
Mark Stone, is that good?
Mark Stone, 23 games, 24 points. Brady Tkachuk, 12 games, 11 points. Drake Batherson, 5 games, 5 points. Like, the Sens have some extremely good players. Colin White, 22 games, 13 points. And, like, arguably the most exciting, you know, young cast we've had in, I don't know, since Spezza was a boy. And, you know, no one cares. No one's talking about it. It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, Chabot. You know, he's first in the league in defenseman scoring. You know, normal. Having a normal one. Why get excited about this? And I don't know. I'm going to be the first one. I'm planting my flag on the high ground of it's okay to get excited about the Senators players who are good.
Yeah. So how fortuitous is it that the Senators traded Eric Aloysius Carlson away for Magic Beans and basically, you know, landed themselves Eric Carlson 2.0? It is like, if you look at this guy statistically, he's ahead of the curve. Like, sure, he might cool down. This fucking guy could cool down for half a year and still be like
40-point guy
ahead of where he should be on the growth chart. But that is extremely messed up.
And when you watch him play too, like, this might be a little bit too much, but he really reminds me of like pre-injury Carlson. And I mean, like, pre-first injury Carlson, where like the skating is just so other, like, next level, that he can just do whatever he wants. He waits people out. He finds the right pass. He takes the right shot. And he's just racking up the points. And, you know, he's driving the whole thing. He's new Carlson. And I guess my question is, you know, do you think that the Senators knew what they were doing when they traded Eric Carlson's old injured ass and, you know, went all in on Thomas Chabot?
I don't think so, but I will say that, like, you have a guy that has had a couple of serious injuries. And, you know, I'd like to quote the guy, Abdi Omer, you know, the best person on Twitter. Shout out at Abdi Omer, get in there. Is that, you know, dude almost, you know, dragged the team to a ring on one foot. Like, you got it. Never gonna disrespect the the guy in that world of like, we play Alfredson scoring against the Buffalo Sabres like it was a game 7 in the Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he got us to a Stanley Cup final where we got fucking destroyed and we venerate that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So Carlson always deserves that. But I do think that maybe they low-key gambled, like, I think we have something good in Shabbat here. I don't think they thought he was, like, several points above point a game on a terrible team good. You know, yeah. Like, I think it's a happy accident in a lot of ways. They might have been, like, the logical replacement for Carlson is Shabbat, and we get to pay him $9 million less dollars a year or whatever calculus they did, but it is what it is. And, you know, to speak to the other rookies on the team, I just want to say Colin White, 13 points in 22 games. Like, this is a complete afterthought on this team.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember when the crown jewel of the team's prospects was Nick Foligno. You know, like, we'd be like, I hope this guy could be a serviceable top six player one day. And I think Nick Foligno's carved out a pretty nice career for himself. But, like, you know, we got Brazy Tkachuk just, like, scoring in every other game. Who is this guy?
Also, scoring the, like, most dirty garbage goals as well, which I really appreciate. He's, like, grabbing rebounds. He's just in the right spot.
They're annoying. His goals are so annoying.
I know. They're the worst. I love it. I love it.
It's like when you play some team, like, I don't know, like, the Sens will be playing, like, just pick me out the worst team here.
Arizona Coyotes.
The Arizona Coyotes, and they have, like, Drax Blakeson, and he's just, like, hammering them in on the power play, but it's just, like, the worst thing you've ever seen. And you're like, I hate this guy. I hate him. I hate his parents. I hate everything about him. We finally have that guy on the team. I think that Brad Marchand is, like, the ultimate version of this guy. He looks like a peanut. He's not very big, but he's like a fire hydrant, and he just sits in front of the net and he slashes your favorite player in the ankle and they're hurt. And then he just, like, tucks one under the glove, like, ugly style. It's like, we finally have a dude like this. I love it. I love it so much.
He's got the worst chirps, but he's like, they still got under your skin anyway, just because he says them so annoyingly.
You look at his face. His face is awful.
Yeah. So I looked up, so you talking about Nick Foligno in the same sentence as Colin White, I decided to look it up. Nick Foligno has right now 14 points in 22 games, and Colin White has,
it's like a lesser 13. Bobby, it's like, right.
They're literally the same player right now. The, like, the former crown jewel of the Senators farm system, Colin White is Nick Foligno.
You can only wish he hit the heights of 7th round pick Ryan Dzingel. Yo, Ryan Dzingel, what do you think is the future of Ryan Dzingel up in here? I think he's the most likely re-signing on the Sens.
Ryan Dzingel is interesting because I don't even know what his, like, equivalent is on another team. Like, if you're trying to, if you're talking to a fan of the Philadelphia Flyers, like, who's the player that you're going to say, oh, Ryan Dzingel, he's like your blank player. Who is blank player?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, John Scott? He's such a late pick. Like, he's kind of like a why I love hockey sort of guy, you know. Like, will you indulge me a quick story here?
This is absolutely the floor.
I'm gonna really, like, get on a hobby horse here. It's just like, I have defended the pick of Curtis Lazar many times. Have you been on this website, twitter.com?
I'm familiar with it.
It's not a great website overall, but you can argue with people on there a lot. And I've taken a lot of flack for being like, look, Curtis Lazar was not a bad pick. Like, he was a point a game WHL player. Like, that's a hard junior league. He won the Memorial Cup. That's a very hard trophy to win. and he like led his team. He was the captain of Team Canada. They won on home ice with him as captain. Bloody bling, blong, blue. That's who you take at like 17th overall or whatever he was taken at. Like, who are you going to take over that guy? You know, he's got all the things. But Ryan Dzingel, he's kind of like, yeah, this guy's deece in like NCAA hockey. I don't know. Like, he's kind of skinny, you know, put up like point a game or so for like Ohio State or whatever. Like, I don't know. Seems like a good get in the later rounds. And like, Curtis Lazar is basically like out of the league and Ryan Dzingel's playing in the top six. I don't know. You can't call this shit. I like it.
I love Ryan Dzingel playing for Ohio State, like not even a hockey university.
No.
Like, it's not like he would play for Clarkson or like Harvard. I don't know where people get drafted from. You're talking about like, who do you take other than Curtis Lazar? I don't know, man. Anthony Mantha.
That's what I'm saying. It's like he was a good pick. Like, it just didn't work out. And like, that's why I love a guy like my guy Max Lajoie.
Maximum Lajoie. There's a guy we haven't brought up yet.
I feel like his game's really dropped off since he got paired with Cody Ceci.
Yo! First of all, you're absolutely correct. Like, that dude promoted himself up to the Cody Ceci level, and it has been a wrap for him ever since. I picked him up in my fantasy hockey league, and I'm like, Max Lajoie, he's the truth. He's getting these shots. He's getting these points, and he has been nowhere in weeks.
This team has been really weird, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been on this website, twitter.com, but every time the Sens lose a game, holy shit, it is grim on this particular URL.
Okay, and, so to be in the Gen Pop's defense, I feel like things would be less grim if Ottawa was losing games like 3-2 and not like 7-5. It's kind of like the Senators have not, like, there's been an article put out by Travis Yost of all people. We're like, oh yeah, the Senators are just giving up historic levels of shots and goals this year.
But like, that defensive core is like, you know, like, we all saw this coming. Like, Dylan DeMello is like a stalwart veteran in this mix.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. All due respect to the god, Travis Yost, you know, stats god. The Sens, they're terrible. Like, they're not good. This is a rebuilding year. This is not a good year. I don't know why everyone is like, oh, they fell below 500, not meeting expectations. It's like, no, those are the expectations. I don't know what you're talking about. Is Cody Ceci got injured early, and they were looking pretty good.
Yeah, Cody Ceci got injured, and then we banked some points.
banked some points, and then he came back, and it's a fucking absolute nightmare. It's just like, that's the only pattern I can find where it's just like Craig Anderson, some games he wins, some games he loses, but he's facing like 50 shots either way. It's just like, I don't know what to make of it either way, except that when Cody Ceci came back, the team's been objectively worse. That's the only thing I can see in there.
So I'm planning on doing a blog post about this on our website.
What?
Welcome to yourcarlsonhears.com. Check it out, everyone. And my working theory of the Ottawa Senators this season is this. There are three versions of the Ottawa Senators. One is when Mark Stone is on the ice. And when Mark Stone is on the ice, the Senators are like a extreme playoff team, like cup threat. There's the Senators when Cody Ceci is on the ice, when the team is easily the worst in the league. And then there's the Senators the rest of the time, which is just kind of like Matt Duchene scoring on rushes, and otherwise the Sens are kind of average. And so this whole season is kind of a competition to see whether Mark Stone can, you know, outplay how Cody sees he is bad. And the answer so far is he can't.
Will they ever see that? What will there ever be a rainbow?
So are you aware that there is a forward version of Cody Ceci? A player who just gives up all the shots and
kills
all the offense.
You teach, I reach. Just show me the way.
Look, I've been looking to the numbers. I gotta say it. Tom Pyatt's gotta go. That's the only way to say it. Your man just, okay, he played 10 minutes against the Stars on Friday night, and in 10 minutes he gave up 20 shots. That's like every time Tom Pyatt was on the ice, the Senators were on the PK.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that is. That's just what happened. I feel like the Senators, I don't know, there's guys in the front office right now who, like, their entire reputations are staked on whether or not they can, like, not re-sign CeCe and Pyatt. And I think if those two things happen, you know, we're talking about a, you know, young, exciting team with some veteran leadership from Stone and Duchesne, some like exciting rookies, and, you know, they're kind of getting frisky and talking about a wild card spot.
It seems like it's such a wrap to let this guy go.
Yeah. Man, I don't like bagging on Cody Ceci. Like, it is easy, but like, I don't feel good about it. I'm not like, and in my perfect world, Cody Ceci's amazing. And I'm like, oh, thank God we have this like local kid who's, you know, great, gets to play for his hometown team. Like, Cody Ceci should be a great story. I think if he was like 20% better, we could probably ignore him.
Erik Karlsson right now is making $500,000 more than Cody Ceci asked in his last arbitration deal.
Allegedly.
That's how I like to think of your man. Like, he's making 4.3 this year. He is like the most, he's the highest paid defenseman by over $3 million right now. It's really gorgeous.
I'm going to log on to Cap Friendly to confirm this, but I think the number one paid defenseman is like Cody Ceci. I think the number two paid defenseman is whatever salary they retained in the Phaneuf deal. Do you have a thought on this? Am I right that the number two defenseman on the Senators is Dion Phaneuf right now?
I believe it. Yeah,
I'm looking this up. Yep, number two paid defenseman on the team this year is extremely Dion Phaneuf.
I would pay for the ghost of Dion Phaneuf to take the place of Mark Borowiecki.
Yo, we're paying Alexander Burrows more than Ryan Zingel this year.
What's going on? Like, what if we were to get extremely twitter.com about this conversation, why is up with like Erik Karlsson needs a new contract and it's like, well, we'll see if we can dig this money out from under our mattress. But when it's like time for Alex Burrows to get paid or like, you know, Tom Pyatt, there's like always money in the banana stand for those suits. Like, they always add up, you know, what you want to accumulate to one good player instead of four terrible players. Do you think it's a cultural thing or a monetary strategy thing?
Oh, I think it's like maybe both. Like, you'd rather just, like, it's easier to pay like $2,000 for a used Civic than it is to pay like, I don't know, $22,000 for a new one. Like,
but you get that Civic serviced like 10 times for $1,000 a time or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on right now, except in the case of Craig Anderson, where I feel like we're extremely getting money's worth out of that dude.
I mean, his save percentage isn't good, but he's facing so many shots and I'm not even mad. I'm like, yo, someone give Craig a rest. Like, Mike McKenna, go in there and allow 6 goals again on a Tuesday. Craig needs some time off. Like, yeah. I feel like his lower body is just going to fall off like by February at the latest.
What are your expectations on this season?
My expectations are extremely attainable. I just want...
Hold on. Let me reframe this question.
Yeah, go for it.
What do you want to see happen versus what do you think will happen?
So I want to see the Senators' good players to continue to be good. I want, this is embarrassing to admit because, you know, it's not seemly.
There's no judgments here.
This sort of thing, but I do want the Senators to re-sign Matt Duchene and Mark Stone. Those players are so good, man.
They're so fucking good. They're so good. Do you think that Matt Duchene, like, he's sort of the afterthought after Mark Stone? He's kind of one of the most talented players the Sens have ever had.
He has 29 points in 25 games. He's incredibly good. And, like, I love me some Kyle Turris, but, like, I've watched Matt Duchene now for a year, and I've watched Kyle Turris for several seasons, and, like, Matt Duchene is, like, the next, a level above Kyle Turris.
They're not even comparable players. I don't think I've ever seen Matt Duchene lose a battle on the boards in, like, two seasons. It's fucked up.
All the goals he scores on, like, breakaways, first of all, he's getting breakaways. Second of all, the moves he does are always, like, embarrassing for the goalie.
They're cute.
Yeah.
They're cute. I like them.
But also he's a playmaker. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, if you don't like Matt Duchene, you're like, oh, we had to, like, give up a pick for this guy. I was like, yeah, because players like Matt Duchene cost first-round picks. It is what it is. And at the time the Senators made that trade, they were in a playoff spot. And they were like, why don't we just upgrade at our center position? It made sense. I stand by that trade. I'd do it again.
I was going to extremely reframe the question.
No, I was just trying to say, I like hockey. The good players are good.
If the Sens re-sign Matt Duchene, does that make losing the first-round pick worth it to you?
In a way, it depends on where the Senators finish. But, you know, if let's say it's the seventh overall pick.
Yeah, seventh overall pick.
Absolutely. Take Matt Duchene. Yeah. Take Matt Duchene all the time. So I guess that's it for the Senators right now. Is the good players are good, the bad players are bad, and everything is just one crushing disappointment after another until you just wish Flanders was dead.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything else you want to say, James?
Yeah, shout out to my goddamn self.
You know what? That's as good a place to leave it as any. We'll be back at some point in the next 6 months. Please read Hockey Brunch and get your next issue at hockeybrunch.com. As always, rest in peace, rest in power, Virata and Chet Sellers. Mm. Sens rule. All the other teams stink. Yeah. Shabbat for Norris. That's
Bobby
all I have.
Kelly is beautiful. Poppy, I hope you're feeling better these days. Tarek Anwar, your dad's a wild man. Abdi Omer, you coward, come on this podcast. Mm-hmm.
That's it. Crossing yours out, baby. Running for the door. I have to find the passage back to the place I was before. My simple explanation is it's a song about a journey from innocence to experience. That's all. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.